Okay, wow. So you've sent us down a really fascinating rabbit hole this time. Chaos theory, the butterfly effect. I mean, the sources you shared are just, well, they're all over the map, aren't they? We've got serious academic reviews, but also these like personal stories that just make you stop and think.
Absolutely. It's striking how this one idea grabs people in so many different ways.
Yeah.
You have the really formal, mathematical stuff right next to these very human attempts to find patterns or maybe just make sense of things we can't predict in our own lives.
Right. So our mission today, I guess, is to really try and get to grips with chaos theory itself, really dig into this butterfly effect idea, see where it actually shows up or maybe where it doesn't always show up in the real world, and, hopefully leave everyone listening with a few of those aha moments.
Sounds like a plan. Where should we start?
Okay, basics first. One of the articles, Cipini and colleagues from 2017, right? It describes chaos theory as basically the study of these complex systems, things that seem unpredictable.
Unpredictable
Yeah.
and really sensitive to how they start out, their initial conditions.
Exactly. It feels like it's trying to uncover these hidden connections in what just looks like, well, randomness.
That's a really key point. If you look back at Devaney and Keane, or
Yeah.
Kant and Schreiber, they really hammered home this idea that the tiniest little difference right at the
Just a
beginning,
minuscule.
it can just balloon into these massive, completely different outcomes later on. It's like if you're doing a really long calculation and you make a tiny rounding error way back at the start,
Well,
that tiny error can completely throw off your final answer
yeah.
massively.
It's wild to think how many different fields this touches. I mean, your sources mention physics, engineering, economics, biology, even philosophy.
Absolutely. And then Curiosity's pointed out specific examples like, well, the weather,
The
obviously,
classic example.
right, but also financial markets and even the human body system itself.
Right.
It does feel like chaos is sort of lurking under the surface everywhere.
It does. So what are the core principles we need to keep in mind?
Okay, well, there are a few key ideas that pop up again and again. Non-linearity is a big one. Zhang and Dong talked about this. Basically, chaotic systems don't follow simple rules like push a little, get a little result.
Right, it's not proportional.
Exactly. A tiny nudge could cause a huge change.
Yeah.
Or sometimes a really big push might not do much at all. It's unpredictable in that way.
Okay.
Then there's that sensitivity to initial conditions we mentioned that's crucial. Interconnectivity to everything inside these systems is linked, And maybe the most surprising one, self-organization. Even out of all this complexity and seeming randomness, sometimes patterns just emerge.
Okay. And one source, Gleick's book, I think, even gives us a mathematical example, this logistic map.
Ah, yes. The logistic map, Xn plus 1 equals Rxn, 1xn.
Right. Now, for those of us whose math is, let's just say a bit dormant, can we unpack that a little?
Yeah, sure. Let's break it down. Imagine you're trying to model a population, maybe like fish in a pond. So Xn is the population now as a fraction of the maximum possible.
Okay, like a percentage.
Kind of, yeah, between 0 and 1. And Xn plus 1 is your prediction for the population next year.
Got it.
And R is the important bit here. It's a parameter that represents things like the reproduction rate and maybe resource limits.
Okay.
What's fascinating is how the behavior changes as you tweak R. For low values of R, the population settles down to a stable number, predictable.
Makes sense.
But as you increase R, things get weird. The population might oscillate between two values and four, then eight, and then suddenly it just becomes completely chaotic,
Yeah.
unpredictable, even though the equation itself looks so simple.
Wow. So that simple formula can show that jump from order to chaos just by changing one number.
Precisely. It shows how a plexity can suddenly emerge. And that perfectly sets up the most famous concept from chaos theory.
The butterfly effect, the rock star.
Exactly. It's the perfect illustration of that sensitivity to initial conditions. And the story goes back to Edward Lorenz, meteorologist at MIT back in their early 60s.
1961, yeah.
Right. So Lorenz was running these incredibly complex weather simulations on his computer,
Right.
trying to predict the weather long term.
Which is notoriously difficult.
Oh, incredibly. And one day, he wanted to rerun a simulation, but to save time, instead of starting from scratch, he typed in numbers from a printout partway through.
Okay.
But the printout only showed three decimal places, say 0.506, while the computer's memory held six decimal places, 0.506127.
Ah, so a tiny rounding difference, like you said earlier, though.
Exactly. A difference of like one part in 5,000, absolutely tiny. He figured it wouldn't matter.
But it did.
Oh, it really did. He let the simulation run, went for coffee, came back, and the new weather forecast was completely, utterly different from the original run. That tiny, tiny rounding error had drastically changed the long-term outcome.
Wow, just from that minuscule difference.
Blew his mind.
Yeah.
And that led him eventually to write that paper in 1972 with that fantastic title.
Predictability. Does the flap of a butterfly's wings in Brazil set off a tornado in Texas? You can see why that caught on.
Absolutely. It's such a powerful image. It perfectly captured this idea that a seemingly insignificant event,
like a butterfly flapping its wings,
could potentially trigger a cascade of events leading to something massive and far away, like a tornado. The sheer difference in scale is what makes it so captivating.
It really is. It's become like shorthand for unexpected consequences.
Definitely. That's the popular understanding. A butterfly here, a hurricane there.
Okay, here's where it gets interesting. One of the sources you sent from Thomas Cotterill kind of throws a bit of a wrench in that, doesn't it? He suggests that, at least in our everyday lives, that super dramatic version is maybe more myth than reality.
Yeah, it's a really important counterpoint. Cotterill argues that while the principle is sound in chaotic systems, life itself, especially at the ecosystem level, has loads of built-in, well, shock absorbers, dampening effects.
Dampening effects? Like what?
Think about checks and balances in nature. Predator-prey cycles kind of regulate populations. Our immune systems fight off small infections before they become huge problems. Ecosystems have a certain resilience.
Okay, so things tend to bounce back or get corrected.
Often, yes. There are environmental limits, feedback loops. The whole web of life, as he puts it, is pretty robust. It can often absorb small disturbances without going completely off the rails into tornado territory, so to speak.
So all those time travel stories where someone, like, steps on a bug in the past and the future is totally different.
He argues that's probably exaggerating things quite a bit. Those stories often ignore all the stabilizing factors that would likely push things back towards a more probable outcome. They kind of rig the game for dramatic effect.
Right. He even mentioned the movie The Butterfly Effect itself.
Yeah, pointing out that the things the character changes aren't actually tiny little butterfly flaps. They're usually huge, emotionally charged, traumatic events.
Ah, so they have pretty obvious cause and effect, not this super sensitive, chaotic amplification.
Exactly. It's more like standard causality, not the extreme sensitivity Lorenz was talking about. So the takeaway isn't that small changes never have big effects.
Because clearly, sometimes they do.
Right. But the idea that any tiny perturbation inevitably leads to wildly divergent futures everywhere, that's probably overstating it for many real-world situations outside of, say, very specific weather models or highly controlled systems.
Okay, that makes sense. It's a more nuanced picture. Small changes can matter hugely, but systems often have ways to cope.
Precisely. And this is where looking at these ideas through the lens of complex adaptive systems, or CAS, becomes really helpful.
CAS.
Right.
You mentioned this earlier. How does this framework help us apply chaos theory? Your sources said it's used all over the place.
It really is. CAS basically looks at systems made up of many individual components or agents that interact with each other and their environment. And importantly, they adapt based on those interactions.
Okay, so what are some examples?
Well, ecology, how species interact and evolve. Economics, market dynamics, how traders react. Social sciences, how opinions spread or societies organize. Public health modeling disease outbreaks, urban planning, traffic flows, city growth, even AI developing systems that learn.
Wow, okay. That's a huge range. And the sources mentioned two main ways to model these CAS things, EBM and ABM.
Yeah, equation-based modeling and agent-based modeling.
Yeah.
EBM uses, well, equations, mathematical formulas, to describe the system's overall behavior. Good for broad trends.
And ABM.
Agent-based modeling is different. It simulates the actions and interactions of the individual agents themselves. Could be people, companies, cars, whatever. You program rules for how each agent behaves.
And then you just let them interact.
Exactly. You run the simulation and see what patterns emerge from all those individual interactions. It's often better for social systems because it can capture things that equations sometimes miss.
Like what? Why is it better for social stuff?
Well, people aren't all the same, right? Mm. ABM lets you model individual differences, heterogeneity. It captures emergent behavior, those system-wide patterns that arise unexpectedly from the bottom up, nonlinear interactions, feedback loops where people affect their environment, and vice versa. It often feels more realistic for complex social dynamics.
Okay, I see. It focuses on the individual pieces to understand the whole puzzle. And there was that hypothetical simulation example you shared.
Ah, yes, the two societies, Society A and Society B.
Right. Started out almost identical 300 years ago, same population, same resources, same rules.
The only difference was where the people were initially placed on the map. a slightly different geographical distribution. That's it.
And the simulation ran for 300 years just to see how they'd develop based on social interactions.
Yep. Asking things like, what happens? Where do people end up living?
And the results were pretty stark, weren't they? Society A ended up clustered in the Southwest,
while Society B concentrated way over in the Southeast.
Mm-hmm.
Completely different spatial patterns.
And not just where they lived, but other things changed differently too, like population growth, male-female ratios, even food availability in different regions.
Exactly. All those metrics showed different trajectories in A versus B, even though they started almost identically. That tiny initial difference in spatial arrangement.
And the simulation's butterfly.
Yeah. Yeah. It led to significantly divergent outcomes over the long term. It's a neat illustration of that sensitivity, but in a simulated social context.
Okay, so that's the theory, the modeling. It's fascinating. But let's get to the really human stuff. That Reddit thread you shared was full of people telling their own butterfly effect stories. Some are just incredible.
They really are. They bring these abstract ideas right down to earth, don't they?
Totally. Like the one about the sister whose muffler fell off her car. Seems random, annoying.
Just a hassle.
Yeah. But because her car was broken, she couldn't drive her mom somewhere, so the uncle drove the mom instead. And because of that change of plans, the aunt was still at the mom's house later when the mom had a heart attack.
And the aunt was there to call 911 immediately. Potentially saved her life.
All because of a broken muffler hours earlier. It's just, wow.
A clear chain reaction
triggered
by something small. Or think bigger scale, that example of dust from one specific spot in the Sahara Desert.
The Bodoli Depression in Chad.
That's the one. Apparently, dust blowing from that relatively small area provides a huge chunk, like over half of the phosphorus needed to fertilize the entire Amazon rainforest thousands of miles away.
That's insane. A giant planetary butterfly effect.
Right. And then back to the individual level. The person whose friend decided to quit smoking.
Oh, yeah. That one was wild.
So he quit smoking. Then, maybe unrelated, maybe not, he gets hit by a motorcycle.
Which sound awful.
Terrible. But that accident led him to change jobs. Then he got promoted, worked his way up, and eventually ended up owning the whole construction company.
All stemming, ultimately, from the decision to quit smoking. An unbelievable chain of events.
Absolutely unforeseen consequences. Or the story about the cheap plastic toy airplane.
Oh, I love that one. Dad doesn't have much money, buys his kid this simple little toy.
And that cheap toy sparks this lifelong passion for flying. The kid grows up, joins the army as a helicopter mechanic, uses the GI Bill to become a pilot himself.
A whole career, a whole life path ignited by a $5 toy. That's amazing.
It really is. Then there's the story of the father who just decided not to go to work one snowy day. Just a feeling, maybe.
A break from routine.
Yeah. And it turned out his carpool partner was tragically killed in an accident that very morning. If the father had gone to work as usual,
he would have been in that car.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And because he survived, his family later had the chance to immigrate to the U.S., completely changing their lives. One decision on one snowy morning.
Chilling. And what about the World of Warcraft player? That one had so many steps.
Oh, that was a cascade. Missed buying a collector's edition game.
So he didn't take the planned week off work.
Which meant he was home when the UPS guy came early one day.
Wearing a Texas Rangers tap.
Right. That sparked a conversation, which led to connecting with another player online who lived in Texas. Met her, moved there, whole new life.
All because he couldn't get a video game box set on launch day. It really shows how tiny, seemingly random encounters can pivot your entire existence.
It does. And sometimes the links are tragically clear in hindsight, like the example of JFK's back brace.
Right, stemming from a childhood issue, a leg length difference.
Yeah, leading to chronic back pain and the need for this rigid brace. And the terrible irony is that the brace, meant for support, apparently prevented him from ducking down quickly enough after the first shot was fired in Dallas.
Oh my God. So a seemingly minor physical condition from childhood and the treatment for it had these utterly devastating consequences years later.
It's a harrowing example of how interconnected things can be, even within our own bodies and histories.
But it's not all accidents and disasters. There was that other concept you mentioned, the butterfly effect of inspiration, the doctor's story.
Yes, from the Healthy GP. That was really moving. This doctor was sharing their experience with palliative care, looking after a patient named Vivian near the end of her life.
And feeling like it was, quote, a medical defeat.
Yeah, feeling like they couldn't fix things. But later, Vivian's daughter told the doctor that watching their compassionate care had profoundly inspired her teenage son, Ryan.
Inspired him how?
Inspired him to become a doctor himself. Specifically, he wanted to help people manage pain and suffering, just like he saw this doctor doing for his grandmother.
Wow. So even in that incredibly difficult situation, maybe because of the difficulty and the doctor's response to it, this huge positive ripple was created.
Exactly. The doctor's empathy, their dedication, even when they felt they were failing by some medical standard, sparked a whole future career path and vocation in this young man.
That's incredible.
And then the doctor reflects on their own inspirations. The uncle, who was an ER doc, another empathetic physician, a mentor named Professor Oriat.
So it's like ripples creating more ripples.
Precisely. A chain reaction of positive influence. One person's kindness or vulnerability or dedication inspiring someone else, who then goes on to inspire others, potentially in ways the original person never even knows about.
That's a really powerful idea, the butterfly effect, but for like good deeds and inspiration.
It really is.
So wrapping this all up, it really does seem, whether we're talking tiny physical events or these moments of human connection, that small actions can, and often do, have these huge unpredictable consequences, ripples spreading out everywhere.
I think that's a fair summary. We've seen how chaos theory gives us the science behind this sensitivity. We've looked at the famous butterfly image, maybe a bit simplified, but captures the core idea.
Right.
We've touched on how these concepts are actually used to analyze all sorts of complex systems, from ecosystems to economies.
And then we heard those incredible personal stories and this idea of the butterfly effect of inspiration.
Exactly. Your listeners shared such a compelling range, didn't they? From global weather patterns down to these deeply personal, life-changing moments, it really does blow home how interconnected everything is.
Yeah, the threads linking our lives and the world seem much more tangled and surprising than we often think.
And while maybe that literal butterfly causing a specific tornado is more metaphor than strict science.
Yeah, probably best not to blame butterflies for bad weather.
Probably not. But that underlying principle that small inputs can lead to vastly different outputs in complex systems, that seems fundamental. And it has real implications, doesn't it? Understanding ecosystems, maybe understanding social change, appreciating the potential impact we have on each other.
Definitely. So for everyone listening, as you go about your day after hearing all this, maybe just pause for a second, think back on your own life. Can you pinpoint any moments, a tiny decision, a chance meeting, something seemingly small that actually sent your life in a completely different direction?
Yeah, it's a fascinating exercise. And perhaps one final thought to leave folks with. Given this interconnectedness, the sensitivity we've been talking about, what small action, maybe even seemingly insignificant, could you take today? Something that might just create an unforeseen positive ripple somewhere down the line for you, or maybe for someone else entirely.
That's a great question. Pondering the potential we all have to be. Well, to be the butterfly, I suppose.
In ways big and small, definitely something worth thinking about.